College programs must be competitive in name, image, and likeness. It impacts current athletes and affects the decision of recruits. And Gator fans can put Florida at the forefront of name, image, and likeness. The Gator Collective is leading the charge, uniting fans and student athletes like never before. Commit for exclusive content, interactions, and events which bring you closer than ever to your favorite players. In this talent acquisition business, name, image, and likeness will play a huge role in Florida returning to the elite status of college football. It can start here. Join the Gator Collective. Link is in the description.
Want more Gators Breakdown? Join Gators Breakdown Plus. Starting at $3 a month, get access to unique episodes, plus a blog, chat room, giveaways, shout-outs, and more. Gators Breakdown Plus is furthering the interaction with fans and listeners like you. Head to GatorsBreakdown.supportingcast.fm to join Gators Breakdown Plus today. Gators Breakdown, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown podcast is ready to go. I'm your host, David Water. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Here we go. Another special episode, another player interview, safety, Gators safety, Donovan McMillan joining us right here on Gators Breakdown, joining Will Miles and me. Well, man, we get another player interview, Lorenzo Lingard on the last one, and now safety Donovan McMillan.
Yeah, man, this is fun, right? I mean, this is an opportunity that we didn't necessarily get until NIL came around. And so, you know, there's obviously a lot of gnashing of teeth in terms of the money that's flying around and the transfer portal and all that sort of stuff. But look, I mean, we get benefits from it too, and fans get benefits from it too, right? And part of that is the access that fans are getting to the players through the collectives and those sorts of things as well. So, you know, look, I think college football is changing. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, and certainly these sorts of interviews are one of the things that's good that's coming out of it.
For sure, for sure. It's a big thanks to the Gator Collective for setting up this interview with Donovan McMillan that we'll get into in just a second. But Will, you got a big announcement coming up for you guys at Read and Reaction.
Yeah, man, Nick Knutson and I, we're really excited. So we're releasing a 2022 college football preview, but it's Florida Gator specific. So it's going to be over 100 pages. It's a digital magazine, so you'll be able to download it as a PDF. But it's going to be more than 100 pages specific to Florida, all sorts of stuff, looking into recruiting, looking into NIL, looking into, you know, plays that Napier's going to call, plays that Tony's going to call, and even some expert cameos there from you, Dave, and also Thomas Goldkamp and a couple other people as well. So, you know, we're really excited about it. If you're interested, we're going to be releasing it right before Memorial Day. So if you go to readandreaction.com/mag, it's readandreaction/MAG, you can sign up there. And what that'll do is give me your email. And then when it releases, we'll send you an email that tells you it's available and give you a 20% off discount for the magazine. So we're excited about it. We've put a lot of time and effort into putting this together, making it look nice. And hopefully everybody enjoys it. But, you know, during the off season, you sort of the magazine season comes and everybody opens them up and you get excited, you buy it on the shelf, and then there's like two pages on Florida.
Everybody knows how excited I get, Will, about
this. Oh yeah. Well, look, those things are fun, right? But there's two pages on Florida. And one of the things when I was a kid that I'd buy those magazines during the summer, I'd take them to my grandparents' house and I'd be sitting there reading them and I'd be done with it in 5 minutes. Well, you're not going to be done with this in 5 minutes. Like, this is a labor of love that Nick and I have put together. So again, if you go over to readandreaction.com/MAG, you can sign up there. We'll send you a discount coupon once it's available, and it'll be available before Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, you'll either be able to read it on that holiday or over the summer as things go on. And, you know, we'll be updating it as we go along too. So, you know, the roster's going to change and things like that too. So, you know, if you buy it in June, it won't be something where probably about a monthly basis we'll update it. But, you know, if you buy it in June or July, it's not going to be something where, you know, we're talking about some guy who's already transferred off the team because in May he was still here, you know? So that sort of stuff, we will be able to update and keep everybody up to date on the roster and that sort of stuff as well. So, you know, hey, there's nothing better than getting prepared for the season, knowing the team inside and out, that sort of stuff. And hopefully other people agree. And, you know, we appreciate everybody's support and taking a look at it, checking it out, and you letting me talk about it here and also participating, because it's cool to get expert opinions from folks like Gator Dave when you're putting a magazine like this together.
Yeah, it was good stuff there. Will asked some really good questions and some really good topics there to add to that preseason magazine. So, hey, Will, this means I got to add one more to the rotation when we do our preseason magazine coverage. So those episodes will be coming up in a few weeks. So exciting time there, and I'm glad we get one that's Gator specific, especially from guys like you, you and Nick there. So it should be some good stuff there to really dive deeper into the Gators.
Yeah, man, we're excited. There's some sections that look at like the first year of Steve Spurrier and the first year of Urban Meyer to sort of say, hey, what should we expect from Billy Napier? Like we've really tried to cover the whole gamut of the different things that you might be curious about. So if you're somebody who likes film, there's going to be stuff in there that delves into schematics and things like that. If you're somebody who likes recruiting, there's going to be stuff in there that talks about, you know, how the SEC has been won, what that means for Florida this year, what that means for Billy Napier. And if you're interested in sort of, you know, the roster, who we think are going to be, you know, who have the potential to be all SEC players, who can be surprises, the predictions for the SEC overall, and then how Florida fits into that picture. We're going to have all that sort of stuff tied up into one big bow. So hopefully everybody will enjoy it.
All right, here we are. There we go. So what is it, Will? WheatonReaction.com/mag.
/mag, M-A-G.
There we go. All right, there we go. Good stuff there from Will and Nick. So all right, without further ado, big feature for this episode, Will Miles and I sit down with Gator safety Donovan McMillan. Donovan, man, we talked about this pre-show just a little bit, but I had to bring you on. Barry Jenkins, good follower of mine on Twitter for a little while. I'm going to throw it up right here, too. There's the tweet from the spring game. He goes, love it, Donovan McMillan, nephew of my heart, Joy McMillan. And so my nephew essentially snagging an interception right now in the Florida spring game. Gator Dave, get my guy on the show. Well, Barry, we got Donovan McMillan on the show. There's the highlight of the interception, the little dance in the end zone right there. So Donovan, man, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Gators Breakdown.
You're very welcome. I'm super excited to, you know, talk football. So
let's go back to that highlight, that tweet, that spring game right there. How did it feel to make a big play right there in the spring game, making that interception in the end zone?
It was definitely surreal, like definitely breathtaking. Like people all asked about, you know, the whole dance. Like that was the only thing that people really talked about was the dance. And like, I really, like once that happened, I totally just like blacked out. Like it was like one of my craziest moments of my life. So definitely super fun and like crazy, like dramatic experience, but I just want to make it on the big stage this upcoming year. So.
Man, so does that mean that you get to talk trash to Jack Miller in the locker room now that you picked him off there in the end zone, or you sort of let him slide since you know, same team?
Yeah, Jack and I are boys, so you know we can spit a little bit, but you know he bought all spring, so you know, back and forth, you know, make a play, so it was all fun.
Donovan, you're talking about balling all spring. Well, we had Lorenzo Lingard on the podcast last week, and we talked to him. We asked him players that stood out in spring. You're the name he brought up. He said, you know, Donovan McMillan back there making plays. So what was the spring like for you? How did you grow as a player going from your first year to your second year at Florida and going through spring practice?
To describe it in like one word, I would really think just confidence, to be honest with you. Confidence, like going back through my reads and knowing where to be, where to say, like, you know, obviously we have a whole new defense with Patrick Toney as being our new defense coordinator. So I really think just being confident and just trusting my abilities of knowing where to be and where to be at like the given time, place, and just being able to control a defense from the backside. Because, you know, everyone says, you know, you got to be the QB of the defense. So that's really the main thing I thought I gained of spring ball number two.
So what do you think the easiest thing for you has been to pick up when it comes to Patrick Toney's defense? And maybe what's the hardest? Like, what's the thing you feel like doesn't come naturally? And then what's the thing that you just picked up right away and you said, hey, I get this, and this is a welcome change from what we were doing before?
Really, the only difficult part was we really have a new, but I think better way of some footworks that whenever it comes to man coverage or zone coverage, where we'll have like a slam or squat step, depending on if it's inside or outside leverage, mans. And then whenever we're banging the buzz from a three or playing flats from two or being the star or whatever, that's definitely changed. That was definitely something we had to pick up on. And once we got it, it was a lot easier. But, you know, the whole transition in being you know, from different techniques, from switching it up, obviously anyone would think it was difficult. But whenever it comes to being the easiest thing, I really think Coach Tony is just, he's really a teacher when it comes to the game. So like this whole new defense, you would think it would be more complex, but the way he teaches it and the way he goes through it, he makes it easy for everyone to learn it and to pick it up. So really, like, you know, we didn't have as much time going into spring because we got a new staff, but just showing in the spring game, like, we picked up on everything and we really understand it, so we can learn even more. So whenever it comes into this upcoming season, we should be good and gold and ready to go.
So you mentioned Patrick Tony a couple of times. It is a change from the last defense in the way of your position coach is your defensive coordinator. So how has that changed? Is there much of a change in that regard? Do you think about the defense different because of that?
I don't really see it much as a change, other than like we know that being coached by the guy who's going to be making the calls on Saturdays, that's really the only little change to it. But I think Coach Tony really shows that he can, like, obviously as a DC, he knows everything that's going on. So he's making us 2D, 3D, 3D, 4D kind of players. So we have to know, you know, what our defense is doing, like what our individual position is doing. Then we got to know what the rest of the defense is doing. And then to the becoming a 4D player is like knowing what the defense is doing, knowing everyone's roles, and then, you know, being able to look at certain things on the offense and know what's coming, because the more film, the more things you know about the whole offense, the easier the game gets to play.
Hey, man, the secondary was actually not too bad last year. 18th in the country in yards per play allowed. You know, the unit obviously does some things well. What do you think are the strengths of the secondary, and then what do you think needs to improve this year to maybe take that next step, both from a secondary perspective but also as a defense as a whole?
So most last year I was working in with the ones and twos, you know, so like most game, like during the week and everything, I'd be there, you know, taking the same reps as everyone else. But for the most part, I played 5 games of defense, but most part I was on the sideline being able to see my fellow teammates put out, and then being in, like, you know, the huddles and everything like that, I got to learn more about what they're doing. I really thought that, to, you know, play as a whole, you know, they look good in, and just being able to communicate, I think we can just continue to work on everything, to be honest with you, because like you said, we're the 18th best defense in run last year. So I think we're going to strive to be number one this year. So, you know, we can work on everything whenever it comes to communication, confidence, tackling, everything. I really think if we really punch it out this summer and do what we're supposed to do, that a lot of people on Saturdays are going to be surprised of how our defense comes this year.
Donovan, you mentioned tackling right there, but and then also turnovers. You had a turnover in the spring game. We discussed that. How much of emphasis was turnovers and tackling? Those were kind of issues the last couple of years for the Gator defense. Was there a different approach from Patrick Tony, from the defensive staff, in the emphasis on turnovers and tackling?
Well, the first thing I did notice about the whole tackling situation was that I don't think we had as much a problem with tackling last year. Was it as much as the repetition of tackling? You know, we're going against guys in SEC that are guys that will be playing on Sundays in a few years, well, literally this upcoming year. So I don't think we worked as much tackling as we should have done. So coming into not even spring ball, like once we hit the field in January and February, for like just outfield workouts and just running everything, we worked tracking the hip and making sure we can make those, you know, those sure tackles. And I really did think it showed when it came to spring. We'd work every single day, a 10-15 minute tackling drill of just, and it really doesn't have to be like hard, everyone killing each other, you know, anything like that. But as long as we just keep repeating the process of, you know, having those open field tackles against guys who are jitterbugs, 4-3 kind of guys. And the fact that we did that, I really did think it improved during spring ball. And what we got about 4 months before, you know, the first game, and we keep doing that, I think our tackling will improve majorly from last year.
Well, before you jump in there, Donald, I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought, you know, physicality is part of it with tackling, but you mentioned watching the hips and stuff. So, you know, I think part of the issue with tackling last year, too, was, as you kind of alluded to, maybe even taking the wrong angle. And it's not necessarily all physical. There's a lot of mental aspect of the tackling the tackling issues on defense as well.
Right. So I don't know if you guys know, but I was a wrestler in high school. So, like, tracking the hip and just and shooting through and like, we never was told to tackle the man. We were supposed to tackle the man about 2-3 yards behind, or, you know, take down the man 2-3 yards behind. So I really think when it comes to football, you know, we love, as fans and everything, the kill shots. The kill shots are the greatest things. But I think the breakdown, the sure tackle, and get to the next play is the more important part. Because you make the sure tackle, those big hits will come. And I think if we continue to do that, then there's not going to be many offenses that can, you know, open up against us and make those big plays that maybe could have happened more than we wanted to last year, if that makes sense.
So is that what you prefer doing? Do you like coming up and run support, or would you rather be back in coverage running with one of those guys running a 4-3 down the field? Like, if you had your pick and it was a play that, you know, you knew what the offense was running, would you rather be coming up and run support or tracking somebody deep?
Yeah, but when it comes to the whole sure tackle thing, don't get me wrong. I like to be the most physical guy I could possibly be on the field. So, you know, obviously I love to be put in the box, play, you know, come in and make that tackle, make that hit I'm supposed to make. Obviously I love coverage, but I love just getting to the ball and making a play. So, yeah, probably the box.
Well, okay, you go to the box there, but there is a reputation for Florida in defensive backs and, you know, DBU. And then Florida, you know, for the last couple of years, hasn't been able to go claim that for the defensive performance out there the last couple of years. Was that a pull for you when you committed to Florida and coming to Florida, the reputation of defensive back play? And what's it going to take, you know, for you guys to get back to that reputation of being one of the great defensive back units in college football?
First off, when it came to coming to the University of Florida, I just thought everything just matched up what it was supposed to do. Like, you know, I was a quote unquote COVID recruit. So I didn't take an official visit here. I didn't take a real visit here. I came here with my family and got to look at outside the facility, look in the windows and look in the stadium, everything. Didn't get to talk to coaches. So me knowing what I didn't know before, you know, going through, like, I knew the whole academic situation that I loved the idea of. I know that Florida is one of those teams that competes every single year. That was one thing that just dragged me in. And just knowing the whole physicality of the defense, you know, I know that guys do want to win. And I think if we put that together, then that will happen. But can you say the second part of your question?
Yeah, it was, you know, going back and, you know, getting back to that DBU reputation that Florida likes to share or go out there with Ohio State and LSU and some of those other defenses out there in the country.
Oh, yeah. So when it comes to DBU, first off, you know, we had Kyrie this year. So that, you know, we're still continuing to produce, you know, those big-time first-round guys that I know that these guys are going to produce on the next level. But when it comes down to that, I obviously think, like, once we continue to get our confidence and communicate, and like we have amazing talent on the field, you know, amazing talent, and it showed last year. I don't think many guys got on top of us, you know, I don't think, you know, Alabama, you know, Georgia, teams like that, they couldn't really get deep on us, you know, whenever it came to that. So that was a part of the whole DBU situation. But when it comes to bringing it back, I just, like I said before, just doing what we're supposed to do. And I don't think you just got to jump for it, just slow and steady and, you know, doing really what we're supposed to do, you know, and just having confidence and making plays on Saturdays, you know, make the plays that we're supposed to make. And then I think we'll fall together what we're supposed to happen. So, yeah.
Man, so you guys had 4 1-score losses last year, sort of was what really turned the tide, right? I mean, those things go the other direction, obviously. The whole season feels very, very different. You know, now we've gone through the transition from Dan Mullen to Billy Napier. What do you feel has changed? And do you feel like those changes, switching from Mullen to Napier and from Grantham to Tony, are going to prepare? did the one score losses last year, you think, prepare you for what you need to do this year? And how's the staff sort of helping turn that corner? You know, because a player or two could really change each of those games.
Yeah, I really do think the coaches, you know, they're getting us ready for this whole situation of, you know, we were a 6-7 team last year. So that obviously has the players. I know me as well, and as all my teammates, like, we have a fire lit underneath our butt. Like, right now we were frustrated about the certain games we lost last year. We knew that there were some turning points in the season. Like, you know, we make certain plays we're supposed to make, and I think last year is a totally different year. But, you know, I think that just is in the back of our head at all times, that, you know, not that we got embarrassed last year, but we're definitely a team that should have beat most of those teams last year. And I think that in a combination of just all these coaches coming in with the right mindset, the positivity, and just, you know, getting people what they're supposed to do, I think that's just all combining to getting us ready to have a really good season. Yeah.
Donovan, how tough was it last year with everything that was going on, and, you know, coaching change after, you know, getting some playing time on the field, you know, for the first time as a Gator, but you're going through that coaching change of the season at the same time?
When it comes to being tough, like, you know, you see my high school jersey back here. Like, we were a real good team, and like, just throughout the years, like, like, when it comes to wrestling or football, I was just never a guy who, like, went down big. You know, we had our games where, like, we always had tough games, but I was always looked at as a winner, you know? And I never was ever in this like, place where I've, you know, I've had a losing record or had a season like this. So, you know, like, I think it's a big thing for everyone, because I do know, like, my teammates, they're all winners. Like, they were the best players on the field, so... So, like, I definitely think, like, that whole thing that happened last year should really, really get us excited for what's coming up this year. Just because, like, we aren't a 6-7 football team. We're a team that should be competing for championships. So, yeah.
Well, so how's your day changed, right? I mean, the day in the life of a student athlete, what's that look like? But, you know, what has it changed going from the previous staff to this staff? What's different and sort of what's the same? And, you know, I mean, I think we all see what happens on Saturdays, right? But I hope we don't gloss over all the work you guys put in throughout right. The week and during the off season as well. So, you know, can you give us sort of a feel for what it looks like for you on a day-to-day basis, and maybe what's changed from the previous staff to now this one that you think is going to sort of push the team forward?
I think the word that defines that is really business. Like, it, like, not that it wasn't business last year. Like, obviously we're focused and ready. Like, you know, we lost to Alabama by 2 points, so, like, obviously we were ready for those games. But this year, it definitely seems like we're coming in as like a business type mindset, that, like, we have a lot to prove this year, you know. And I think when it comes down to my normal day to day, it's like, you know, the same thing. We're working out, we're doing meetings, you know, obviously school's, you know, the number one point of it. But when it comes down to these coaches and everything, I really do think they mean business, and they're getting us ready for, you know, a dogfight as a schedule. You know, the schedule is nothing to play with. And these guys are, you know, getting us ready. So business for sure.
That sounds good. A business approach there. Donovan McMillan, safety for the Gators, joining us right here on Gators Breakdown. Donovan, let's continue the conversation. And you're on the field. You have a difficult first season, but you're on the field. What was the biggest lesson you learned as a freshman? Whether it be off the field, whether it be on the field, you can combine both there. What was the biggest lesson you learned?
Biggest lesson. Ooh, I got to say. Biggest lesson. Biggest lesson. Let me think. So when it comes down to the biggest lesson I learned from last year, wow, you're almost stumping me right here. I got to think. Really, like, I think there was a lot to learn from last year. You know,
yeah,
there's
for sure.
A lot to learn from. Let me think.
Because we hear all the time, you know, with the players that go from high school to college, they say the speed of the game is, you know, the biggest lesson that they learn. But would you go that basic with it, or is there something else that you'd probably point to on the field as far as the lesson?
So you help me out a little bit more. No, I think when it came to speed of the game, I was ready for that. Like 5A football and PA is nothing to play with. Like there's guys who are playing all around. I don't know if you know Derek Davis. He was a guy who graduated me. Like we played in the finals like 2 years ago and then whatever. And like he's at LSU right now. So like the speed is definitely ready. But like when it comes to lessons, that playbook and film study is nothing to play with. When it comes down to that, I watched a ton of film in high school and I thought I was ready. But just the whole thing of me, like for example, this year I'm learning free safety, weak safety, and then coach is talking about even playing a little dime as well. So just learning one position is hard enough. You know, you're learning cover three, cover four, cover like everything. You're learning everything. And just every detail to it, you got to know the reads, the quarterback, especially you think being in the post, you're just sitting there, look at the quarterback's eyes. No, you got to have a transition where you got to look at the midpoint at the quarterback and look at his hand, where if he's giving off or not. You got to start with by looking at, you know, what your keys are to the linemen and what they're doing. So, like, everything when it comes to the lessons I learned is that to succeed in football in the college and the NFL level, I think is just you got to know football. You got to. Football, you got to breathe football. You got to eat. You got to do everything like that, as everyone says. Like, if you're going to want to succeed on this level, you got to really love it. Because to love it, you got to. I'm watching college football now. I'm watching NFL football now on TV, and I can't go without pausing the thing and looking at what the offense is running and like and correlating that to what I'm doing, you know? So like when it comes down to that, I think you just got to – it's definitely a complex thing when it comes to offense and defense. You got to – that would be the biggest lesson I learned is that, you know, college football is really like 90% strategy and then 10% just skill and playmaking.
Will, I'm glad he mentioned you know, Patrick Toney and the keys and all that stuff. Donovan, we did this big Patrick Toney preview episode a couple months ago, and that was part of it. You know, we listened to podcasts and we read articles for Patrick Toney and, you know, for his DBs. You know, reading their keys and reading, you know, positions in front of you, reading the quarterback was a big, big part of that. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I think the teaching aspect of it came through in that. So it sounds like that translates to players, at least, because some of the YouTube trainings that he gave, it was easy to understand, right? You weren't sitting there going, what's he talking about here? Like, you understood everything he's trying to lay out there. So who do you model yourself after? Like, what NFL player or what college player do you look at and say, on film, that person looks like me, or that person does things I want to do, or that person does things better than me and I want to learn how to do that? Like, who do you look at and say, that's the person I'm looking at, that's the film I'm looking at, that's how I want to improve?
Well, ever since high school, I've always, like, modeled my game after Tyrann Mathieu. Just, like, I watched him since he was at LSU, you know. Like back in high school, I used to like, you know, kick off a turn, punt return. So I love that. And obviously back in high school, I wanted to play offense, but like I knew that defense was my main, you know, my bread and butter right there. But just Tyrann Mathieu being able to be versatile, you know, for dang sake, a corner goes down, he can go play corner. He can go play free, you weak in the box, go play dime, nickel. He could do it all, you know. And like that one thing I did, like, model myself after is just being able to define the ball, be able to be a playmaker, always going for strip attacks, you know, see the ball in there, get the ball in there, you know what I mean? Like, I think that was one thing he strives for and everything. And just you know, that you know what his nickname is. You guys know the nickname? You guys know it?
Honey Badger.
Honey Badger, you know?
You read my next question. I was about to ask you, what was your nickname like that going to be?
Aggressive dude who doesn't – Honey Badger doesn't care. He's gonna attack you, and he's going to keep attacking you. He's not going to let up. And that's one thing I just model myself after.
Yeah, man. We'd love to see that. We'd love to see that out there. So I mean, do you have a moniker or nickname? Or are you going to go Honey Badger too?
No,
Somebody's gonna have to give you one, right?
Sounds like the Gators Breakdown listeners have a project here. We got to help.
Yeah, you definitely do. Like nothing like people call me Donnie and my mom hates it. Like, or they'll call me Don now. Like, we definitely need something better than that. Like something. Yeah.
Sounds like we got a poll for the Discord there, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We'll break it up to Gators Breakdown Plus listeners first, and then we'll go from there to see what kind of nickname we can get for Donovan McMillan. Donovan, you just said you were in Pennsylvania. What was your history of knowing Florida? Did you follow Florida football? Did you know about Florida's historic defenses and a lot of great defensive back play? Of course, everybody knows Tim Tebow and those Gator teams. But how much did you know about Florida before you had kind of started, you know, looking at Florida to be your college destination?
So through my whole recruiting process, I had 54, you know, Division I scholarships, and like that was like just such a blessing to me, you know. But like the number one thing that like I preach, my parents preach, like, oh, I preach to people who are getting offers and like my brothers and everything, and my parents helped me with, was that, you know, these coaches are going out of their way to like give you a scholarship and they want you to come play in their defense. So the number one thing I did was when I got offered, I did my research and I asked a lot of questions, you know, what defense you want me to play, what the defense has looked like, all these things. And like, so that was one thing I did do. I did my research, you know, I had, you know, obviously Barry Jenkins up in my ear, you know, everything like that, telling me how legendary of a defense they've been, you know, their all their games they used to play versus FSU and how big of a rivalry that was. And just knowing like just the small things from like whenever they won national championships. And obviously I still have a lot to learn from them, and I get excited to learn new things about, you know, where my school that I am at right now. But when it came to that, like, definitely it was a lot of research. And obviously I didn't tell you guys this, but like my whole dad's side of the family, except my dad, all three of his sisters, all big FSU fans. Like my whole life I've been an FSU fan. Like they literally kind of just beat that into my head. You know, I went to the national championship versus Auburn and everything. So that was like, I was a big FSU fan. So whenever I learned about Florida and everything and like just, you know, going through it, it was kind of crazy. So when I went there and like whole family just was like, you know, mixed personalities about it, mixed point of views about it. Yeah.
So. We turned one, Will. We turned one.
You made the right choice, man. It's funny because when I was thinking about going to school, it was basically Miami, Florida, or Florida State. And, you know, same general thing. Like, watched Charlie Ward and those sorts of guys back in the early 90s because I'm old. And, you know, had to make the switch when Werfel came along. But, So, I mean, I guess, you know, obviously you grew up in Pennsylvania, so you don't have a huge history with the school. What's it like now that you're there? I mean, you know, do you feel like Gainesville's home? Is it a place you're going to come back to after you graduate? Do you feel like that's the way sort of the program sits with the culture with Billy Napier? Like, what does it feel like in terms of the culture there and sort of what you feel like, you know, as you progress, hopefully end up in the NFL, you know, do you see and envision yourself coming back to campus and sort of maybe even making a home in Florida when you're done?
Yeah, like you said, Gainesville, like the whole Florida area is definitely feels like home. Like, obviously, I'm home right now, you know, with the report about a week or so, and like I'm already ready to go back. I love my family and everything, but like I just, there's just something about being down there that I just love so much. And it's like, as much as you love football, you know, you gotta love the school, you gotta love the area and everything. And whenever I was down there just visiting for the first time, I did fall in love with the area. And just now, it just, you know, I live there. I feel like I'm a young adult there doing my own thing. And just when it comes to the culture, it definitely is a culture that I think I vibe with and I fit into. So, like, when it comes down to, you know, after a situation like that, I don't know where I'm going to end up being. Like, obviously, my goal is the NFL and everything like that. And I'll go wherever the money takes me. But, you know, like, I could definitely see myself ending up being in Florida one day, you know, either, you know, working or being a coach like I want to be. So, yeah.
Donovan, or you could, you know, go to Florida like Will, and he actually ends up in Pennsylvania. So,
Will, you're... I'll buy you a beer next time you're in Philly, man. Well, I guess I can't buy you a beer. I'll buy you a meal next time. Well, I'm not sure I'm allowed to do that.
20 in a month. 20 in a month. So I'll definitely take the apple juice. So
I don't know what the rules are. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to buy meals anymore.
under the gods of NIL. There we go. So, Donovan, let's go back basically just a few weeks ago and kind of along the way as well, a scholar athlete of the week. spring awards were handed out, and you got the Doering Like to Practice Award at the spring game. What type of notoriety in those awards does that mean to you and just Billy Napier's short tenure? And what does the what are those kind of awards and accolades mean for the team?
When it means for the team, I think whenever it came down to, you know, being a like I love a practice, like that's one thing I think that could, you know, help in winning national championships, just small things like that. Like if you go out there and you do like slash love the practice, that means you're excited to do anything it takes to win, you know? And that's one thing. Like I've always loved practice. I always love going out there and making myself better and learning new things that is going to make my game that much better. But whenever it comes to being like the Scholar Athlete of the Week or whatever, it that just helped me like, you know, continue to show like I'm excited that I am a football player, but at the same time, you know, I think I'm like, you know, educated in the way I'm supposed to be and excited to, you know, go to school as much, play football, if that makes sense. Like I definitely take my school in serious because, you know, we all can't play football forever. So, you know, that's why we got goals to play in the NFL, goals to continue to ball out in college. But like that whole education is such a big important thing when it comes to the end of the day.
Donovan, what do those awards mean for the team, though? Like, you know, this is something new Billy Napier has brought.
Okay, my bad. You
answered the question, but yeah, to extend it, you know, what do those awards mean to you and to the team? Because that's something new that he's brought to the football team. And, you know, we see it on Twitter and we see it on social media that, hey, here are your Scholar Athletes of the Week and all those awards, the Nutrition Award as well. What does that mean to you guys?
It's definitely – whenever it comes to meaning something, it almost is kind of weird, but like it almost makes it feel like they care, if that makes sense. They care about the whole small things and everything. And it definitely is. It's exciting. You get posts on Twitter, you get posts on Instagram, whatever, being, you know, a nutrition athlete of the week or Scholar Athlete of the Week or all those awards we got at halftime in the spring game. And I think it just helped us, like, helped us get excited for the whole situation, but helped us, you know, thrive to like compete and everything. Like I see you being the, you know, academic athlete of the week. Like I want to be that. So I'm going to go study more and go get my grades up. Or like you be a nutrition. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to go talk to the nutrition, you know, I'm going to go know what I need to eat. We know breakfast, lunch and dinner, whatever, like snack we need to eat or whatever. And then what times we got to do protein drinks. Like, you know, it just almost makes it's like a competitive atmosphere is what we need, you know, because you're competing off the field, it helps you compete even more on the field, you know, to win, you know what I mean? So if that answers your question.
Yep, absolutely.
Right, so what are your goals for this season? Like, do you have a set of, you know, an expectation in terms of like number of starts or how much playing time you want to get or what you want to improve on? Like, what are you looking to do this season that you'll say, hey, at the end of the season, this was successful?
I just want to go make plays, you know? Whatever it takes to make plays and help the team win. That's I've always, you know, being the team kind of guy. Like, you put me on special teams, I'm gonna go down there and go make a play. If you need me to go block, I'm gonna block. Whatever it doesn't matter. It when it comes to stats, starts, anything like that. As long as I have a role to, you know, help the team win. If we're winning a national championship and I'm doing a small little thing, I'm happy with that. It's whatever. You know, whatever it takes, you know, no stats in mind, just want to go make plays and, you know, have fun doing.
So, Donovan, how many visits did you get to make? Because I know you mentioned you were a COVID recruit. So did you get to go to many big games before COVID hit? Were you on visits where you got to go to big games? If so, and even if you did it, what was it like, you know, Florida, Alabama? What was it like, you know, those Florida home games last year to rush out to 90,000 and crazy crowds? Because I kind of, you know, looking back, I kind of forget your visit schedule before COVID hit. So I'm not sure how much you actually got to get involved in big game atmosphere crowds like, you know, you got to see last year when Florida took on Alabama.
Right. So whenever it does come down to that, about a good 30-40% of my offers did come after COVID happened. So that was like, those were the big ones, like Florida and a lot of the bigger schools came after that. But like when it came down to my, like, cause I only got recruited my start of my junior season.
Right.
So I went to like Akron, I went to a Penn State game, went to a Purdue game, and like, you know, they were fun and all, but like, there was nothing like, you know, going out the tunnel versus FAU and like just looking, I was like, wow, like, that's a lot of people. And it was FAU, you know, it was FAU, like, you know, it was like the swamp and everything. Like, I was like, wow, this is like the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. And then just being able to, you know, to run down the field the first play of the game versus Alabama, it was just like, my mind was just blown. Like, I watch Alabama, I watch Georgia, I watch Florida and all these teams play like ever since I was like 6 years old, and I can't even remember. And it just, me just going down the field and playing a team that I just looked at my whole life as being like, wow, it was definitely one of the craziest surreal moments of my life. And then just continuing to have it happen and just, you know, like, it was fun. And I felt like confident on the field doing it. But at the same time, I was like, sit back and realize like, wow, this is crazy. And that was, you know, the swamp is just nothing to play with, you know?
And I know it was a loss, but I'm telling you, man, that Alabama game was a special atmosphere that day.
That was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. I would jump up and down, and it would go, like mess with your ears. Like, you went to halftime, you're like, wow, my ears are buzzing, but like, it was a good buzzing. Like, wow, I cannot wait to go back out there and go play this team more. So like, definitely crazy environment for sure.
So with that being said, week one, we got Utah coming to the swamp. Obviously, get going this year without it. You know, it's not FAU. It's a big time, you know, Power Five team that's going to be ranked coming into the swamp. Also have Mr. Diabate coming back there week one as well. You know, sort of what's the feeling? You guys going to how juiced is the team for having him coming back, and then also having a big game to start off that obviously is going to be nationally televised and an opportunity for you guys to sort of, you know, prove to everybody that last year was a fluke and that you're going to be better than people expect.
Yeah, it's definitely super, like, the adrenaline is already pumping, like, for that game. Like, I know guys are just so pumped up for that. You know, like, we got, you know, we have a big time team coming in ranked, and you know, they, you know, I love that they think that they have like this big thing on us, but like, you know, we're most likely, if you guys think, we'll probably be what, an unranked team going into it.
Good It'll question. We've talked about that, but you're right. Florida's going to be on that probably 20th, 25th, maybe not ranked cusp. So here's the thing.
That shows how more excited we are to, like, you know, beat this team. You know, like, we're going in as an underdog against like Utah, and like, we're not throwing shade on them, but like, SEC, we're Florida. We're going out there. They're not going to beat us in our home place. Like, that, that's one thing. Like, we're working hard every day. Like, we have this, like, just look in our eyes that we're just going to go out there and tear up every team we see and start with Utah. So we're excited for that.
Diamond, going to Will's point there, he did bring it up. Mamu Diabate at Utah. Tyron Hopper at Missouri. You're going to be going against guys that you were in the huddle with last year. So kind of talk about the transfer portal and now this kind of new angle to it that, hey, I'm going to be playing guys that I was just in the huddle with a year ago.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy that we are, you know, playing guys that were on our team. And the fact that, you know, there's going to be opportunities where you have to block them or you have to hit them because, you know, we're special teams players.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, like, you know, crazy. But, you know, it's like, transfer portal is crazy now. It's like, you're going to have guys that, you know, playing everywhere, you know? So like, when it comes down to it, it's like, it's all love when it comes down to the guys. Like, we have all love, like, you know, through text, phone calls, FaceTime, we go see them in person, but we, you know, when you get on that field and there's, you know, we're playing that ball, it's like, it's no mercy. So it should be fun playing them first week.
Go ahead, Will, you got one more or anything?
No. We're all excited about it. I mean, you know, yeah. the cupcakes are terrible for fans. We love it when it opens up. I mean, do you prefer sort of easing into the season, or do you prefer having that sort of carrot out there where you know you got to get ready for week one, and so there's no margin for error, right? Once fall camp kicks off, like, you got to be focused and locked in, because otherwise, you know, you're not going to be able to perform the way you want to. So which way do you prefer it? Do you sort of prefer to ease into the schedule, or do you prefer that big one, week one, national television, everybody talking about it?
You know, the easy answer, you would think you'd like to ease into, you know, how you have like an easier, you know, either FCS school or a small division one school that you'd like to play. But, you know, there's nothing like having, you know, big game off the bat. It almost shows you, it's like, okay, what's our season going to be like? Are we going to go out there and beat the crap out of this team? And then we're like, wow, okay, then we could play, you know, with this new team, whatever thing. Like, we're not we could play or whatever, because we're just showing, like, what we were, like, what last year wasn't, you know. We're doing what we're supposed to do, you know. So, like, I definitely would pick playing the big dogs at the bat, because it's just the atmosphere, you know. It's going to be crazy, you know. That I know that game is going to be, you know, sold out. You know, it's going to be this crazy game. And I don't know, when was the last time we played Utah? Like, that's just crazy that we're playing a team like that. And it's just, it should be a challenge that, and we're accepting it, and we're going to go have fun doing it. So,
Donovan, I think I looked it up. It's either 90 or 91, the last time a Power 5 at a conference school besides Miami or Florida State has played in the Swamp. So that's right. You know, it's a big game, and just kind of, and it's been forever since Florida's had a game like that. So, Donovan, last few thoughts from you right here. We talked about the transfer portal and how that is different for college football, but so is name, image, and likeness, and
right,
everything that comes along with that. And look, I'm glad that you get to join us through here because of the Gator Collective and everything that they've done. So, talk about, you know, kind of zoom in on NIL a little bit with the Gator Collective, but also just the whole world of NIL right now.
I think the whole world of NIL is just – NIL is just crazy right now. I think it's definitely well-deserved, you know. I'm super excited about the whole NCAA game coming out. Like, that was one thing. I played as a kid. So, that should be crazy.
Absolutely.
I think just reading into it, I think fans had a problem with the whole, you know, them not getting paid, but now they're starting to have a problem with the whole, you know, the Jordan Addison situation of, you know, he's getting offered $3 million to go play at USC. Like, I don't think there ever is going to be a happy medium of what it's supposed to be. But I really do think, you know, why not let guys be able to go show off their brand and show what kind of person they are, even though it's not even about football. You know, some guys who might not be able to have that longevity in the NFL or not even make the NFL, but have the whole media presence or the followers and everything, have the opportunity to go out there and make money off the name of how much they worked hard and everything, and to build this whole brand and everything. So I think it is definitely something that has been great in what we're going on about a year and a few months of this whole NIL thing. And, you know, I'm excited to see where it's gonna go. Like, I have things coming up really soon. Super excited about, and that should just, like, that just makes the game even more fun, you know, because there's guys, you know, the NFL, like, these guys can go do all these brand sponsors and everything like that, and there's not really much of a difference between the NFL guys and the college guys. Like, we all are going out there sacrificing our bodies, playing for the fans, trying to win championships. So, like, you know, why not have them be able to get paid? So I think that's my stance on it all.
So obviously, though, with increased money comes increased criticism and that sort of stuff as well. Most likely, you know, if a fan sees you in public, what do you want them to do and say? Are there times where it's cool if they come up and interrupt you when you're doing stuff and ask for an autograph and that sort of stuff? And then there are times where you just sort of want to be left alone. What you know, fans are going to see you around Gainesville. What would you tell them in terms of how to interact with you guys when you guys are out in public?
And Donovan, on that thought, my good buddy David Soderquist, he saw you at Miller's Ale House after the spring game.
Yes, I remember him.
Yeah. So I wanted to be sure he interacts with Will and I a whole lot. So I wanted to make sure I threw that shout out there.
Yeah, I'm 110% open to everything. You know, that's one thing that as such a super fan of the sport football, be it college, NFL fan, my whole life, it was like me going to those games and everything and asking, being the kid who, you know, wanted the signature on the football or the signature on the jersey, even though I knew it wasn't even about, you know, going out there and going selling it or anything. It was just about that was like my dream. Like I always be like, wow, I want to be like one of those guys. So like whenever it comes to fans, like I am 1,000% open to anything. Like I could be on the phone with someone or doing something totally off thing. And like you come up to me and tell me like, you know who I am. Like I think that is one of the coolest things. And I'm going to give you my time of day and do, you know, hang out with you or whatever. So like, that's one thing I told my parents or anything. I'm always going to be open to that. Cause I'm going to act the exact way as I was whenever I was a kid, but in the opposite, like I'm going to be there for the fans and show them, you know, who I am. I'm just this guy that is happy to be a Florida Gator, but at the same time, I'm going to treat you like, you know, like we're the same. Like we are the same. We're everyday people that are, you know, good. Yeah. That's my stance on the whole fan thing. I get excited when fans come to me. It's still crazy to me. So yeah.
Don, let's take that a little bit further, right quick. You talk about, you know, being who you are. Well, if people know you and do a little bit of background search on you, you got a passion for fashion out there. So, you know, let us know that side of you a little bit. And I've asked this question to Lorenzo Lingard last week, and I ask it to recruits who commit to Florida and all that. Billy Napier's going to come up to you, and he's going to let you pick the uniform that Florida wears that week. What uniform combo are you going with? Is it the orange helmet, blue helmet, white helmet? Any of the jersey combos that you can think of as well. So let us know about your fashion sense and then also the uniform pick for you.
Well, I don't know if you know about it. I have a YouTube channel, which is coming back a lot stronger really soon. You know, I've been busy with a lot, you know, school and everything. But, like, my YouTube channel, like, ever since maybe fourth, fifth grade, I used to post, like, sneaker collection videos, fashion videos, and anything like that. So, like, my whole life, my mom has always taught me, like, you know, you're going to, with whatever you got, you might go have like $5-$10 shoes. You're going to make it look nice. You're going to clean them off every day, you know? So like, I've always been about, you know, going out there and make myself look so presentable, but at the same time, you know, have a little style and fashion to it. But when it comes to the football thing, I think that is one of the toughest questions that you've asked today. Like I liked it all. Like whenever it came to the USF all white, that was amazing. But at the same time, you know, I like the all orange. I like the orange on blue combo, and wow! And then you like the basics, you know. You like so. I really do like them all when it comes to it. But if I had to pick one, orange helmets, orange jersey, and blue pants. Ooh, orange pants. One of those. I just love the orange. The orange looks amazing. The orange jerseys are amazing. So.
I've heard that a lot. The players really do like the orange jerseys. So that's different to hear there. And I thought
we got the black ones coming. So I'm interested to see how people like that when those show up.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about those ones too.
There we go. Sure. So Donovan, when Florida does break out the black jerseys, Billy Napier has already said it'll be 2023. So not this coming season, but it will be next season. Do you want it like a completely new design, or do you want it kind of like the traditional uniform, but just make it black?
I don't know. I think original is nice, but something just crazy, you know, like we wearing something crazy. I think we're just completely crazy on the field too. So like, I don't know. It depends on how crazy we're thinking, you know, because like I've seen the uniforms that we wore, like the gator skin ones. I didn't, you know, I have mixed feelings about those ones. But like
you can say they were ugly.
This was the fan base.
They're a little interesting, you know. They're interesting, but no, anything all black is gonna look nice. But the ones that they're showing, like whoever made the photo of what they look like now, like I would love to see those. Like,
you know. Yeah. So, by the way, the correct answer for the uniform is the throwback. It's.
Oh, I forgot about the throwbacks. Yes, I love the throwbacks as well. So, yeah.
Oh, man. So, hey, just out of curiosity, is there something that Anthony Richardson's going to do this year that you think is going to surprise us? We obviously saw the explosive plays last year and that sort of stuff. You're seeing him from the defensive side of the ball. What's something that you think is going to surprise fans? I mean, there are people who are mocking him in the top 10 of the draft next year and that sort of stuff. Is there anything he's going to do that surprises us, or is he just really everything we think he's going to be in terms of a quarterback?
He's definitely one of the craziest athletes I've ever seen in my life. So that's, you guys know that. When it comes to surprising, I don't think he's a surprise to anyone. I think just showing what he did in the games that he played in, like, he was the superior player on the field. You know, I think when it comes down to it, he's such a leader, you know, when it comes down to our offense and everything, and just knowing what he's supposed to do and, you know, using his playmaking and athleticism abilities that I think some crazy things are going to happen this year. I think he has an opportunity to go out there and lead us to a championship and lead himself to, big awards postseason. I think he's going to do what you guys all think he's supposed to do. So I'm excited about that.
That's what we want to hear, because we got some high expectations on for him and the team. So there we go. That's what we want to hear. Will, anything else, man?
I guess, one thing. So Ty Grantham gets an awful lot of flack, and I'm curious, can you tell us something positive about him that maybe we wouldn't know? You were recruited by him, you come in, a lot of times we talk about the previous staff. Obviously, everybody gets a lot of criticism, but what's a positive thing about Grantham? Maybe be a little bit positive on that side.
And Donovan, maybe even extend that, the whole staff in general. It does seem like a big, a fest of just negativity for the last staff. But as Will said, for Grantham, and extend that to some of the other staff as well.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that, the staff does get criticized as much as it's supposed to. But, at the same time, like, we were a 6-7 football team, and that's, that's something that Florida isn't. I would expect that if it was another team that is not very good, but – we weren't a good football team last year. We had a potential to be an amazing team, but we did things that weren't supposed to happen. But when it comes to coaches like Coach Grantham and Coach Mullen, like I can't thank them enough for getting me to this point, getting me to the University of Florida. And I really didn't see problems with them. Obviously, there's going to be changes after 6-7 season. I liked what Grantham wanted to do. His complexity of his defense, it could have been taught a little better, but he knew what he wanted. He knew that there were certain things that we had to do to win football games, and I don't think that just ended up happening. But whenever it comes to those guys, I have all love for them, And whatever they end up doing or everything, like, we're gonna stay in communication. We're gonna stay like this, I do truly like those guys. And it doesn't upset me. It just disappoints me that, a lot of people don't know what they were personally to other players on our team, players who are in the NFL or just players that, in general, that they coach and are in their careers and what they've taught us. And overall, they were good people, and they were good coaches as well. So when it comes down to it, it's all love to those guys. And hopefully that's the positivity you needed to hear, from a player about those coaches. So
good stuff. Will, you good?
I just Steelers, is that who you want to be drafted by?
No.
No.
I like I said earlier, I will go wherever the money takes me. I think the Steelers, it's a little cold. It's cold up here, I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now. People are all in, like, tank tops right now. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm freezing. Like, I would obviously love to play in the South. I'd love to play anywhere that takes me. Steelers would be amazing if I can have anyone, come. But
That your team growing up? Was it the Steelers, or did you like somebody else?
More my family's team. My dad and I have always been player fans. Like, we're Tom Brady fans. Like, we've got a player on, like, almost every team that we get super excited to watch play. So, player fans. Never been – you're a team fan, and then you just get angry. I played fantasy football like twice, and I was like, I cannot do this. It makes you root more for certain things than you want to. I just like enjoying a good football game.
There we go. I like that's how I started out. To my favorite player was John Elway for the Broncos. So I just, you know, I followed him until he retired, and then I just kind of enjoyed the game of right. NFL. But Gators, of course, it was just always diehard for the Gators. So. College was different.
I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, so me and Katie Turner are sad all the time. Stupid 13 seconds.
Donovan, man, I can't thank you enough for joining us right here on Gators Breakdown, man. Wonderful job that you did here. If you got a message out there for Gator Nation, man, you're more than welcome to share it right here of you know, just what it kind of means to be a Gator.
Well, first off, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity. You know, just being able to get on here and just and talk to you guys is just obviously amazing. But when it comes to Gator Nation, I think you guys should just be, you know, stay patient. You know, stay patient, get excited, and get ready. In September, you're going to see something that you guys have been hoping for. So that's what I got to say. Patience. And
awesome. Anyway. Awesome. Thanks, Donovan. Gators safety, Donovan McMillan, joining us right here on Gators Breakdown. That'll do it for this episode of Gators Breakdown. Thanks to Donovan McMillan one more time for joining us, for giving all his insight into the football program. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out here on Gators Breakdown. Guys and girls out there, thank you for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.